From Spark and Anvil and Cube Sensei, this is Layer, in Chapter 1 of the Cube Sensei cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5. At the low table in the corner of the cubing dojo, a small pangolin tween named Layer turned a scrambled cube slowly in her paws and did not panic. The cube was, by any honest measure, a disaster. Every face a jumble of white and yellow and red, a puzzle with more wrong arrangements than there are stars anyone could count. A knot of kids leaned over her shoulders, and one of them groaned as if the sound alone might help. "You have to solve all of that?" "No," Layer said. "I have to solve the bottom." She set the cube on its little stand, tipped her head, and studied it the way you'd study a room before deciding where to put the first piece of furniture. "Watch." She didn't grab and twist the way the fast kids did, all blur and clatter. She turned the cube gently, hunting one white piece at a time, coaxing each into place along the bottom until a clean white cross sat there, like the first straight row of a garden. Then the corners, one click, another click, until the whole bottom face was solid white and would not move. "There," she said, "one layer, finished. It isn't going anywhere now, no matter what I do above it." "But there are still two whole layers left, and they get to stand on this." Layer patted the finished bottom, almost affectionate. "You cannot build a middle on nothing. You build it on the part that's already done and can't fall apart." She kept going, middle edges next, each move small and unhurried, and the cube filled from the ground up, the way water rises in a glass instead of splashing everywhere at once. "Bottom first," she murmured, mostly to herself. "Always." The kid who had groaned stopped groaning. He started watching instead, and something in his own hands went quieter just from the sight of it.
Layer had not always been patient. When she was small, she had hated the bottom of everything. The slow parts, the foundations, the boring beginnings that stood between her and the good stuff. The first cube she ever owned, she tried to solve all of it at once. She twisted furiously, chasing colors across every face. Fix a red here and a white came apart there. Rescue the white and lose the blue two turns later. Every repair quietly broke something else, somewhere she wasn't looking. Her paws went sweaty and quick and frantic, and after a full hour of it, the cube was somehow more scrambled than when she'd begun, as though it had been feeding on her effort. She had wanted to cry. It genuinely felt like the cube was laughing at her. An old teacher pangolin sat down beside her, uninvited, and watched for a long while without offering a single word. Then, at last, quietly, "You're trying to hold the whole cube in your head at the same time. That's why it keeps slipping out of your hands." "There's no other way," Layer had insisted. "It's all connected. You move one thing, everything moves." "It is all connected, which is exactly why you have to stop trying to catch every part of it." The old one took the cube, and with slow and unbothered hands, built only the bottom face. Nothing above it, nothing fancy, and held it up to the light. "See this? This part is safe now. It's done. You are allowed to stop worrying about it entirely." She smiled gently. "Notice how much lighter your head feels now that there's one whole part you're permitted to set down." Layer had felt it, and the feeling astonished her. The frantic, everywhere at once pressure behind her ribs went still, and in its place came something steady and low, like a floor under her feet. One finished thing, one part of the world she could fully trust. She did not solve the whole cube that afternoon, but she never again grabbed for all of it at once. She came to the dojo at 11 years old because a place that studied cubes seriously ought to keep room for the slow, sure way of doing them, not only the fast and flashy way. Cubix, the coach, met her at the door with a scrambled cube already waiting in one hand. A test, plainly, though he pretended it wasn't. A quick, buzzing kid named Cross hovered nearby, half out of his seat, desperate to show off a speed method he'd half learned from a video. "Show me how you'd start," Cubix said, and held the cube out to the room. Cross opened his mouth.
But Layer had already taken it, unhurried, before he got a word out. She found the white pieces, built the cross, then the four corners, and set the finished bottom down where everyone could see it. Solid, unbroken, complete. "That's the slow way," Cross said, not quite meaning it as an insult. Not quite not. "It's the way that doesn't collapse on you halfway through," Layer said, and she said it without any sting. "You can add speed later, once your hands know the road. But every fast method that has ever existed is just this underneath. Finish the part that holds the rest up, then move on. I finish it on purpose, all the way, so I never have to come back and fix it twice." Cubix looked at the clean white face for a long considering moment, then at the pangolin who had built it. "This," he said, "is where every cuber starts. Method, not magic. You belong here."
Lair's corner of the dojo filled, over the weeks, with kids who kept getting stuck in the same place. One gray afternoon, a boy dropped into the seat across from her, shoulders caved in, cube dangling loose from one paw. "I keep getting the top almost finished," he said, "and then I fix one piece and three others fall apart and I have to start the whole thing over and I just..." He blew out a long breath through his nose. "I hate this stupid thing." Lair knew that exact slump. She had lived inside it, sweaty pod and near tears, years before. "Show me your bottom layer," she said. He turned the cube over reluctantly. The bottom was half built, one white edge, then a gap, then colors bleeding through where they shouldn't. "I didn't really finish it," he admitted, quieter. "I wanted to get to the cool part." "That's the whole problem, and it isn't your fault, so let go of that." Lair took the cube from him. "You're trying to raise the roof before the walls are up. Of course the top keeps caving in. It has nothing to stand on." She rebuilt the bottom slowly, narrating nothing, just letting him watch each move settle and lock. "Finished," she said, and pressed the last corner home. "Now, try your top." He tried, braced for the usual collapse. This time, when his fingers moved the top pieces, the bottom simply held. It held the way solid ground holds. His eyes went round. "You weren't ever bad at the top," Lair told him. "You were building it on air. The finished layer does the worrying, so the top is free not to. Bottom first, always. The cube rewards patience, not because patience is a rule someone made up, but because a solid thing has nowhere else to stand."
Later, when the dojo had emptied and the light through the high windows had turned to gold, the boy came back with his cube half solved and one last question tucked under his arm like something fragile. "When I'm stuck on the hard top part," he said, "and I really, really want to just skip the boring bottom stuff and go straight to the good bit, how do you make yourself go slow?" Lair thought about the frantic little pangolin she used to be, twisting at everything, holding on to nothing. "I don't make myself," she said. "I just remember how the other way feels." She turned the cube gently in her paws. "There's a scattered, everywhere at once feeling when you're chasing the whole thing at the same time, like your head is crowded with dropped pieces and not one of them will stay put. And then there's a completely different feeling when one layer is finished and locked underneath you. Quiet, steady. Like you've set down something heavy and it stayed down and isn't waiting to fall on you." She glanced at the solid white face resting on its stand. "You stop being afraid the whole thing will come apart, because the part that matters most already can't." The boy nodded, slowly, and Lair watched the scattered look drain out of his eyes, the very way, years ago, it had drained out of hers by the light of another window. She didn't say the last part out loud, but she felt it move through her, warm and settled all the way to her paws. The calm was never in finishing everything. It was in finishing one thing, all the way down, and letting herself rest on it. Her shoulders came down from around her ears without her deciding to lower them, and a small, sure gladness rose in her chest and simply stayed. The feeling of standing on ground you built yourself and know will hold.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Layer. Released under Creative Commons BY-NC-SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.